Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, that's right. It is Friday, October 13th. Don't be scared. Friday the 13th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you today. Today, man, I am excited. Got a brother in the studio, man. Hopefully this is going to be good. I'm always prayerful. We pick good guests, so this is going to be good. But it's Praise Break Friday. We do have a conversation. And hopefully we can get to it. We're going to be talking about 10 big things Jesus said that we often forget. That is the topic of conversation that we hope to be able to get to. But in the meantime, I want to introduce a brother that's in with me today. The one, the only, he's Chicago born, Mr. Kofi Lee Jones is in the house. What's going on, sir?
Hey, Brother Dana, how are you?
I am well, sir. I'm well. Now, you got to get up to that microphone, act like you're okay now.
Yeah. I'm doing well.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Man, so glad to have you here, man. We're going to get down and we're going to talk about why you're here and everything. Let me give y'all a rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening on the line, simply push 1. You can be a part of today's show. That means you've already dialed in. You got your mobile device and you're listening via your phone. Just push 1. We'd love to hear from you. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on social media, you can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, we would love to hear from you. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. The live streams are up and running. Ustream. You can find us on Ustream, ustream.tv. We're live over there. Come on in. Y'all come on in and bless us with your presence. Ustream.tv. Let me make sure the chat room is open over here. For those of you on the Ustream side of the business, yeah, chat room is open on Ustream. And then, of course, Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you, read those emails on the air. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast, Taking the Limits Off Radio, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Just do a simple search. Go to your iTunes account. Go wherever you listen to music, wherever you can download podcasts. Simply do that, and we would love to hear from you. What's going on, bro?
Hey, man, everything's good, man. It's so good to be alive, to be here in the shop.
So tell the people, give people a little bit. Ain't no sense to me because I got your resume, but I ain't going to read all that.
It makes me nervous.
Trust me, I know how you feel.
Yes,
tell the people a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Oh, well, I'm originally born and raised on the west side of Chicago.
Okay.
My passion and love is community-based youth development, mm-hmm. and doing God's work.
Okay.
Here on the west side, citywide, nationwide, mm-hmm. worldwide.
Okay.
Trying to make a change and a difference in the lives of many people. And hope that they see the vision that God has called us to do.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So currently, you've been on. We talked to you. I know you're friends with, for people who don't know, you're real good friends with, as we call him, the Cardinal of the Ether Wave, Michael Henderson.
Yes, sir.
Who said he might be stopping by. We don't know for sure.
Come on, Mike.
And you're also friends with Pastor Cornelius Park.
Oh, Park. Yes, sir.
And so you know quite a few people here. In the city of Chicago. So just give us a little bit, man. Where'd you go to school? What church did you attend? All that good stuff.
Listen, I'm going to give some shouts out to Michael Faraday.
Come on.
I see Connie Dula. She's she's tapped in here and said hello to me. She's one of my my name's Dougie. Marshall High School, they used to always call me Dougie Fresh because I used to dance and do box like them.
Okay.
So I'm really a West Sider.
Okay, okay.
My church home, oh my God, the greatest church in the world.
What's that?
Unity Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church, 211 North Cicero.
Oh.
Oh my God, where the pastor now is the magnificent, wonderful, awesome T.H. McFarland.
Uh-huh.
And my pastor, the late Charles B. Williams. Lord have mercy. I just thank God for that experience and being back in the city.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Yes,
that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
It
so,
is. It is.
So tell me this. Tell me this. And yes, we got a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about. I'm going to try to hit you with a couple of current events stuff, but I want to give you an opportunity because I see you do a lot of work with youth.
Yes, sir.
But you're doing that in Texas. Where are you at right now?
In Texas, I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay.
Right now, I'm just trying to feel my way through.
Okay, so you just got to Texas.
Or
you?
Year.
Oh, you only been there a year. Oh, so, yeah, you haven't gotten a chance. Okay, so what's the goal of the organization that you are part of or the organization that you are starting? What's the goal of it?
One of the organizations I started back in 2000 was called Youth Empower, Inc., and the goal was to empower young people to make a difference in the community and to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, young people are saw in the community as being nuisance or young people that really don't have home training or just tearing up the community.
Mm-hmm.
But my role was to go back to Michael Faraday Elementary School and to train some young people to make a difference within the community.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I did was start the motivation and youth mentoring program at Michael Faraday. From that, I trained about 30 youth leaders.
Okay.
And one of the first major events was we did a Safe Summer event back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Had about 300 young people, about 200 some community people coming out.
Wow.
We did a march around the community. The young people were serving the elderly. They were putting up banners. It was a wonderful experience.
That's awesome.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Awesome. That's awesome. So what right now you mentioned something. We were talking about a conversation the other day about why churches don't reach the.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
I know you and we're gonna get on. I want you to touch on a little bit of that. It sounds like you have done some church consulting.
Yes, sir, I have.
So tell us what that entails when you come out and work with different churches or pastors.
Well, let me say this. I got my degree in evangelism from Liberty Baptist Seminary in 2013. My pastor, Lee Charles B. Williams, inspired me to go to school. He said, Lee, you got to go to school. And you're doing good work, but you want to sharpen your tools and go to school and make sure you could speak the language to the people.
Uh-huh.
And my pastor was an evangelistic guru.
Okay.
Anybody
okay.
in this city, on the west side, south side, in the city of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
know that Dr. Charles B. Williams was a guru in evangelism. He trained and taught various churches
mm-hmm.
Throughout the district and the national level. So with that being said, my whole thing is that when I look at different churches, I taught at Chicago Baptist Institute for 4 years.
Okay.
Evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
I taught about 7 or 8 different churches in the city of Chicago
mm-hmm.
evangelism. By way of just training them in terms of not looking at a way of doing events,
mm-hmm.
but allowing the event to be in a conduit to
mm-hmm.
really reach out to those that are lost.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So. Give us an idea if you can of when you walk into a church mm-hmm. or if a church calls you and says, hey, come look at our program, come look at what it is we're doing now. How can we be better? Let's say evangelism, since
sure.
you know you said that was one of your focuses, and you went to you said you graduated from Liberty in
2013.
Wow, I came out in 15.
Yeah,
yeah. I saw that on your thing when Tanya sent me your the thing you sent to,
sure.
your info. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm back. I'm actually.
I know a little
song. I'm back there now. Actually, again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, getting my doctorate now.
Oh,
at Liberty. Praise the Lord for the
yes,
for the donation
yes,
and
sir.
the scholarship.
Yes.
Anyway, so give us an idea with evangelism. How does that piece work? And real quick. Those of you on Facebook Live, you got your people, man, grab you got your phone, go to Facebook real quick, turn your volume down, go to Facebook real quick and go to the link and then invite your peoples, man. Let them know you're on here, man. You know, go there and let them know you're on. But when it comes to evangelism, what do you think is one of the biggest mishaps or the biggest issues with people, with the church not reaching the community.
I think the first thing is evangelism is a really misunderstood concept in terms of what the Lord is trying to get the churches to understand.
Help us out.
In the book of Matthew, he gives us six perspectives of what we need to be doing. When he asked the question, when he said, the disciples said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you saw the least of these, you have also seen me. He said it was the least, the left out, the lonely, and those that didn't have things. So when we look at evangelism from a perspective of a SWAT, the first thing I identified.
You talked
SWAT,
about that, okay? SWAT.
SWOT.
OT. Gotcha.
And so that simply suggests this: one, you look at the strengths of the church. What are the strengths in the church?
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at who you got in the church.
Okay.
Who you got is like, what can they do? What do they have to offer? What are their careers? What are their experiences?
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes when you think of a church and they're trying to build their church, they're trying to do this and that, they go outside. But right inside the house of the church, you got people that can do carpentry.
So y'all look internal first.
Internal first. Okay. That's called strength based.
Okay.
What are the strengths? What are the people that we have right here in the house of God?
Okay.
What can we? How can we use these people?
Okay.
And so once you look at the strengths of the church, then secondly, you look at the weaknesses. Now this is a very thin line. A lot of pastors and a lot of church leaders want to not talk about because it gets into a whole different ramifications of what weaknesses are.
We take it personal.
Take it very personal.
Yeah.
But this is something that we must do. The Bible says to encourage you one another.
It's funny you said that. To good works.
Yes, sir.
I'm actually teaching that this month on accountability.
Well, I'm gonna give you some points.
And one of the things that helps you just talked about. So the acronym used again was SWOT. SWOT. So S is for the strength,
mm-hmm.
and W is for the weaknesses. You talked about how it was kind of a touchy subject.
Very touchy.
Is it mostly because when you're dealing with a church that has been around for some years and it's had the same people running the organization, they don't want you telling them about where their weaknesses are?
They don't want you to tell them.
Go ahead and finish expounding on that.
They don't want you to tell them because their old ways are set. We did this long. We've been doing it this way. Who are you to come in and tell us to change? But when you see a church that's been doing it this way for so long
and not successful
and not effective,
then
there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when you look at a business, did their business plan,
mm-hmm.
but then things begin to change, trends begin to change.
Yeah.
You look at, wow, what are we doing differently?
Mm-hmm.
They have to change the 8-track. They don't use 8-tracks no more, do they? They ain't got CDs. They don't even use CDs anymore. So what?
No,
things are changing.
Constantly.
So we have to follow with the trend.
Constantly.
Constantly.
It's funny. You don't I love the fact that you talked about the 8-track from 8-track because it went from 8-track to cassette, from cassette to CD,
yeah.
and now CD to MP3. So and there's going to be something after that.
After MP3, yes, sir.
But here's the deal. You can't buy a car these days. New cars don't even have CD players in them anymore. They don't. You have to literally ask the dealer, I need a CD player, because they don't have it, but they have a USB jack.
USB jack, yes, sir.
So you can plug your MP3s in or plug your phone in or whatever it is, or you're not Bluetooth your phone.
Yes,
but you had to adjust.
You had to adjust. There was no, oh, man, what's wrong? Oh, no. Why are you trying to change the whole system? This was good what we were doing.
Yeah,
no,
it was
adjust.
It was good.
And it's time. Yes, sir.
Come on.
We're in a different time.
So strength, weakness, what's the O for?
And then opportunities. Now, this is very touchy
for me
also.
Come on.
Because you have a lot of people in the church that feel like there was no opportunities here.
Mm.
I can't grow. I've been sitting in the same seat all along. There's
mm-hmm.
The same person teaches Sunday school, same person over the retreat, the same person doing a youth program, the same person doing it. There's no opportunities for growth. And every church, you have to have opportunities for people to grow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you ever going to see an individual to know that they are doing something, that their calling is for real, that they have a calling upon their life
mm-hmm.
if you don't let them grow, if you never let them see them do something in church? There are a lot of people that want to do stuff in church, but it just seems like everybody else, they're calling on the same person to do some of the same old things.
Wow. Opportunities to grow. Let's talk about that.
And that's a church killer too.
It is, because we fall into this rut. I'm just going to talk about from what I've seen. We fall into this rut where we only have a certain amount of individuals that actually work in the church, right?
Yes, sir.
And we wear them out.
And wear them out.
We wear them out. And then we don't see other people because we don't know them, or we don't recognize them, or we refuse to see their talents, we'll let those people sit to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And then what will happen is they'll go somewhere else
and use their gifts.
And use their gifts where they're appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will turn around and take them and say, you know what, we can use you over here.
Sure.
Now you've lost talent out of your church. And that's not, and see, we're normally thinking about that when we talk about musicians, because
mm-hmm.
churches lose musicians all the time.
Awesome.
But we're talking about administrators. We're talking about teachers. We're talking about finance people, carpenters, people who, you know, people who can really fix
contribute.
Up. I ain't talking about your cousin, uncle,
mm-mm.
who can barely paint that y'all get to do stuff. I'm talking about real licensed bonded carpenters and electricians. And these people have passed through our church walls, and we have ignored them because, well, we always call so-and-so to do our work.
Mm-hmm. Always.
But so-and-so ain't did good work in 20 years.
20 years.
But we still call him because... That's who we know.
We miss the mark every time. Every time. And sometimes it'd be a matter of personality or character.
I think it's more personality because we don't
character.
Know them enough to know their character. So we just
No. I'm talking about people in the church.
You're going to
use those people in the church because there has been a history of something there.
Gotcha.
So it's about personality and character.
Okay.
I'm not using him for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
But that person could bring you a whole lot, save you a whole lot of time and money if we only could use what we got.
Wow.
That's in the house.
All right. So that's SWO. What's the T?
Threats. Good God Almighty.
Threats. Okay. Help us out.
Yeah, a lot of people in church feel threatened by somebody else because of who they are. You know, it used to be a time where if a preacher would come to a church and he was looking to just be a part of ministry,
mm-hmm.
and the person could sing you under a pew,
mm-hmm.
that's a threat to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That person had an inkling of a know-how, how to really bring the congregation to a worship experience,
mm-hmm.
and move the church in the worship experience in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
sometimes... Some people in leadership get threatened by that, but not knowing that they can utilize that talent and gift to work in a win-win situation.
Yeah, I guess my man, that threat one is huge.
Threats. Somebody that says, "Hey, this person know too much about what's going on in this church. They are a threat." You know my business. You know everything that I'm doing. You are a threat. Don't have me start preaching. I feel this thing. You got to understand that there are a lot of people in church are threatened just because of the anointing that is on your life.
Wow.
And that's a shame.
Wow.
When we look at Jesus, what did he do? He picked 12. He wasn't threatened.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he needed.
But he also said in them 12, you're going to do greater works than I do.
Greater works than I do. And
so
that should be the principle.
And this was the Son of God.
Son of God saying that. Greater works.
Right. That you're going to do.
That you're going to do than I did. So.
Why be threatened?
But
here's the deal. You're only threatened. Your position is only threatened.
Yes, sir.
When you, sad to say, when you know you haven't been doing your best job. When you know you've just been holding on to a title or a position or whatever it is, and you know that if someone new comes in, you're going to be exposed.
They might have some ideas that they have not been thought of. Threats.
Or you're afraid you're going to get exposed.
Threats.
For not doing your job.
Threats. And so we want to look at this whole piece.
Okay.
SWAT,
okay,
right?
Go ahead. Help us out.
We want to look at the SWAT in very close detail. The SWAT is only to help to make you become better as a church, help your leaders become better, help your ministries become better, and to help become effective in the church ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And if a church really look at it from that perspective, you will really see that the church growth would have a strong turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a person, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have an usher that's on your usher board. She's been on the usher board for about 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And certain people say, well, why do they got Miss Jackson? I'm just using
mm-hmm,
the name.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Jackson on the usher board. She's not nice. She don't smile. She
mm-hmm.
don't welcome people.
Mm-hmm.
And every time something happens, she's so used to tradition.
Mm-hmm.
She closes the door on people's face, throw her hand up, and then
mm-hmm.
well, and then try to tell people, well, you got to wait till the pastor. I'm only doing what the pastor said.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the type of person you want to have on your door.
because that's the church first offense. Because when a person comes in a church, they want to feel first the presence of God.
Yeah.
And how they feel the presence of God is when somebody is greeting them about the first person they meet.
First person they meet.
So the usher boy is the first.
In a lot of well, sometimes it's the parking lot, but
well, sometimes it is the parking lot, but then it's when you get to that door.
Yeah, the greeter or
the usher. And when they do, they be like, "Oh man, I was so excited." That's why David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God." Mm-hmm. Why was he glad? I'm glad you asked. He was glad because when he got there, he'll see three things.
Come on.
He'll see somebody preaching, he'll see somebody praying, and he'll see somebody praising God. And when you get there, there's a certain type of feeling that when you get into the house of God, you want to feel a certain way. You want to have a certain experience.
Mm-hmm.
You want to feel a godly presence when you come in. You don't want to feel no presence with somebody got an attitude, or they mad because somebody just came in and they mad because something happened last week or last, and they can't get over it.
Wow.
That, it's more deeper than that, because sometimes pastors can, sometimes not only pastors, but leaders, because pastors can only do so much with his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has to have an eye on what's going on. We are charged with trying to look at, be good stewards of what God has gave us.
That's good.
And stewardship is not only in giving.
Mm-hmm.
Stewardship is over the leadership.
Yeah.
Over the usher ministry.
Yeah.
Over the choir ministry.
How do you manage your organization?
How do you manage your organization? Absolutely. From all levels, from the smallest to the biggest. And there is no small level in church ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that's another thing we got to forget. We can't look at, I'm an usher, you're a choir member.
Oh, so I'm better than you or something like that.
My position is more important than your position. I'm a deacon.
Oh,
I'm an officer.
Oh Lord.
My position is more important
than
you.
I'm a trustee.
I'm a trustee.
Right.
I'm an ordained minister. You're not ordained yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm more important. It's not about that.
Because
we all are one body.
Mm-hmm.
But we all got different levels of work. The hand does what it does, the legs, the eyes, and the ears. Without that, we're crippled.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to understand that from a perspective. So when I look at churches that are really struggling, I look at first, do the squat. Find out what is your weaknesses. What is your strength?
I love the thought process of it. The strength, weaknesses, opportunities,
and threats.
Yes, I get that. That's that's cool. Let's go back to the very beginning of this. A lot of times, it takes true assessment of what. Here's one of the things I know. If you've ever been to counseling or done any kind of counseling, none of that works if you're not honest, right? So if I come to the table saying, "Well, I believe these are all our strengths," knowing that's not the case, because you could believe, like I'll say this, you can believe, well, we're a very hospitable church, but that's your opinion.
Yes, sir.
Because if I ask 10 other people. They're going to be like, y'all the meanest church I've ever been to in my life. Y'all the rudest people I've met.
Yes,
you know, it takes some, I
true
guess,
assessment.
True assessment. So I guess before you try to apply
any of the other principles.
Right. You have to sit back and just kind of watch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you sit back and you say, let me observe what happens. Let me get to the church at different times. Let me get to the church at 9 o'clock so I can be there in time for their Sunday school. But then let me turn around and come back again so I can come in at 11 when everybody else is walking in the door so I can get that full experience. Because you come in at 9, you might not see an usher. Come at 10:45, you're liable to run into one or two. Let me see how they operate this. Let me see it from different angles in the building. Let me watch the service. Let me see where the gaps are in the service. Why is there this long doldrum? What's all this extra all this talking that's going on? Why do we have 15 minutes worth of announcements? Why is there all of this stuff going on? Well, anything that would hinder worship needs to be looked at. But some people would have issue when it comes to not only you pointing out what you correcting what they say their strengths are, but then let back to this weakness deal. Nobody wants to be told that they're not good at something. How do you go about, from your perspective and your years in doing this, how do you go about having that conversation?
You know, I'm glad you said that, and I hope this doesn't. The text I'm going to give you is very clear and crisp. Jesus said, Galatians 6:1, it says, ye which are spiritual, if any man fall into a fault, ye which are spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, you have to come with a spiritual mindset knowing that there is something wrong.
Okay.
Okay, so now when we look at that something wrong, then one person first got to identify what they did wrong and be very honest.
That's the same tenet of recovery from addiction.
Yes, sir.
The first step is admitting that there's a problem.
Admitting there's a problem. A lot of times
you have to be willing to admit that there's a problem.
See, a lot of times in churches, it's more about money.
Yeah.
And we don't want this money to stop flowing. Yeah. So I ain't going to admit that there was a problem, because if I admit there's a problem, the church going to go up in a hooray, and then we're going to start tapping into stuff that's going to be opened up Pandora's box, and all this stuff going to happen, and the church going to split.
Wow.
But no.
Wow.
If ye are spiritual, there is a certain way of approaching this whole situation.
Mm.
So we got to really look at it from a church, not just from a church perspective,
mm-hmm.
but from a spiritual, godly perspective.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody has to be honest about where we are.
Okay.
And then even some, I heard a pastor one time said that when he preaches his sermon, even if it's a convictive type sermon,
mm-hmm.
he preaches from his own conviction.
That's 100% true.
That's powerful.
That you I said this to other people. I know for me, I can't preach without stepping on my own toes.
There you go.
It's not possible.
It's not possible.
It's not possible. And a lot of times, you know, God will give you something and you preach it to yourself.
But let me say this.
But go ahead.
When you step on your toes, it hurts, right?
Absolutely.
And you have to do something to make sure it feels a little better, don't.
That's right.
That's the same concept.
You got to do what's necessary not to feel that pain anymore.
Not to feel that pain anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the same concept. If the church is seeing that they're losing members, if the church sees they're not gaining members, somebody's toe is hurt. There's a wound somewhere in the house that has not been fixed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a leak in this old building. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just want to say, I really think that, honestly, when the church leadership begins to really analyze that the church is not just a business, which now
mm-hmm.
For over 10, 15 years now, church has been operating like a business, I think mostly from a financial standpoint, but they also kind of dived into that. We're going to use the same type of way of running our church.
Mm.
But however, they have not looked at this. One, we have to look at changing up some things. Some people have to get promoted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people have to get trained.
Mm-hmm.
If like a church that hurts, a church that really hurts is a church that has a pastor
mm-hmm.
that's on his way out, but he never has a succession plan.
Wow.
So when he moves out of his position,
yeah.
the church is in an uproar of what to do now.
We talked about this. When it's so funny you said that. I mentioned that Wednesday night in my Bible study. I said successful churches, if a pastor leaves, that church ought to still be able to function well if it was built well. But if it was built on his name and his character and all of that, the minute he leaves, if he ran a church that was in disarray, but still had a bunch of folk that followed him and didn't recognize the disarray, when he leaves, they leave him. And it's going to leave you with the dysfunctional mess behind. And that's not going to get cleaned up in 6 months. It ain't going to get cleaned up in a year. It takes time.
Sometimes it kills the church.
In some cases.
Because you got two or three other ministers that set up on that one pastor that left, and now everybody in decision making. And then that splits the church. I'm going to go with Reverend Durrell because Durrell was good. No, I'm going to go with Reverend Jackson because Reverend Jackson was more faithful.
Uh-huh.
But Reverend Durrell got education and he can preach. Well, Reverend Jackson was faithful. He can preach a little bit, but he can't sing. So see what I'm saying? Now you got the church trying to, but I love both of them guys, but we don't want to choose between.
Right.
The pastor should have been the one to kind of like bridge the gap.
Well, that's when you have. But see, when you build a successful plan, it's just like
successful plan.
It's just like with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve Jobs died, there was already a plan in place for this last guy to move in.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was part of the process. He was part of the building process. He was part of helping build the brand. He was already there, and the board already had faith. Based off of what they had seen him do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. Nobody else on that board was qualified to take that position in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Steve Jobs had brought this guy along. Same thing with Microsoft. Bill Gates has people in place already. Mark Zuckerberg, young guy that runs Facebook. Facebook. He's got a plan in place. You have to have things in place already so that the business does not fail.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's been around for years. They ain't had the same CEO. They haven't.
No.
Okay. So let's
look at youth ministry. Let's take a look at youth ministry like that.
Let's talk about it.
You got Ms. Johnson, who's been a youth president for over 30, 40 years because she was the founder of the church.
Right.
She ain't finna give that up. Why? You talked about millennials last week.
Yeah.
Certain children want to be a part of something.
Yeah.
They want to sit at the table. They want to let you know that they can think. They can do something different. They know how to reach young people. 30-year-old educator, she can't do it no more. She's tired. She's only doing what she knows. That's structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to bring some new ideas in this new millennial to bring about a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to need to happen.
I completely agree, y'all. I'm talking with Lee Jones. You know, he co for Lee on Facebook.
Yeah.
But his name is Lee Jones. He's in the studio with us today and just having a conversation. You guys want to chime in? I see y'all already in on Facebook Live. Y'all already came on in. Ustream, I'm sure y'all over there too. If y'all want to call into the show, area code 347-934-0546 with your questions or your comments. Whatever it is you want to talk about, you can definitely do that with us. Join in on the conversation. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. Man, we got a brother on Facebook says, "Hi, I'm from Pakistan." That's when you know you done reached. The word is going to be preached all over.
All over the world.
Pakistan. That's all I'm going to land in that tall feet right there. Bro, say hello from Pakistan. Sam Peter, God bless you. Let me run some stuff by you. So you're in Texas. So you moved from Chicago to Texas?
I moved from Chicago to Texas.
Okay, so you moved to Chicago from Texas. You're down there in Texas. Texas is a little different from Chicago, obviously.
Very
now,
different.
What part of Texas you in?
I'm in Dallas.
Oh, you are in Dallas?
I'm in Dallas.
No, you're not a Cowboy fan, are you?
No. They're doing pretty good.
You're not still a Bear fan, are you?
No. Since 85.
Me neither. I kicked their boat to the left when they traded away the whole team after they won Super Bowl. Anyway, there's a lot going on here locally. So you grew up west side or south side? What side of town?
I grew up on the west side.
West side.
But I'm
What high school did you go to?
Marshall. Oh, I'm a commando.
Oh, you'll be all right. We're gonna pray for you. You and Henderson, y'all, we gonna
Henderson about to make me say something.
Y'all gonna be all right, commando. We right, y'all. We gonna pray for y'all. Austin. Me and Park. We Tigers.
Lord, right.
Yeah.
They're about to close Austin up, and they had mercy on.
See that? See, they did close it, and they reopened it.
And they had mercy on them.
Yeah, they did. Well, Marshall probably should have. Yeah. Anyway. With everything that's going on here in Chicago, with the violence, and I'm not even going to talk about the violence piece. Let's talk about the lack of
unity,
opportunities for our youth, because that's one of your areas of specialty. What can we as the churches do different?
My God, let me say this. Number one, the church have to come together. You have 10 churches. Let's say Chicago Avenue. Let's use Chicago Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You got about 10 churches or 20 churches from Pulaski to Central Park.
Yeah, just from that area.
Just from that area.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, how many times have these churches ever come together at least monthly just to have a plan about the community? That's one. Let me say this real quick. The church, I think I read in about the 1500s, the church was the first non-for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there was a problem, they went to the church to get these problems solved.
Yeah.
Because the church had power. The church had relevance. They knew what was going on in the community. They knew how to sit down with people and address the issues and get things properly solved. Now we have to look at the fact that the churches are no longer existing in the communities like they should. You talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm.
Everybody mentioned, they got the right method, but the wrong message.
Right.
Well, if their method is working,
Why not use it? Yeah.
If you got the right message, but you ain't got no method, something wrong, then I should be with the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Then we'll never.
You got the right message, but you got the wrong method.
Your message will never get out.
Because
your method is still the same.
And your mind is closed to what needs to go on.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's all about threats again.
Come on.
One church going to say, well, my church never get recognized for the work we're doing. Well, you're going to get recognized by who? God.
Yes.
The Lord is going to recognize your work.
But we need to get out of that mindset of... My name needs to be on it.
It's God's name.
As long as your name is where it's supposed to be up there, don't worry about where it is down here.
That's the problem. That's number one.
God told Abraham, I will make your name great. Not you make your name great.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. So we're on the same page. We just got to look at this thing very closely with a different lens. And I think when leadership look at it from a different lens, when leadership look at this thing from a different lens and a different perspective, then we begin to see change.
Okay.
Because he said what? Go.
Mm-hmm.
G-O.
Mm-hmm.
God's order.
Come on.
Where I want you to go? Go into the highways, into the byways, and do what? Mm-hmm. Compel. Uh-huh. Tell them to do what? Come. Mm-hmm. He didn't say sit around in your church on Wednesday night. He didn't say sit around in your church on Saturday to have BTU if they still do that, or Sunday mornings all day and travel around. Where are you in the community?
Yeah. When are you actually going out and compelling the lost? Not trying to get people to jump from one church to the next church.
Exactly.
Because we do enough of that.
Let me say this, too.
Come on.
Let me say this, too. I'm glad you said that.
Come on.
I love the fact that when our churches are called out about these things that we're talking about, and then they say, well, we have prayer vigil every Tuesday night on Central and mm-hmm. Central and Chicago Avenue. Mm-hmm. The question is, you're praying on a street corner.
Okay.
But who are you reaching? We're reaching all them people. They hear us. But where is the follow-up?
Yeah, that's it.
Who gets contacted?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I love the group that I work with, 100 Blocks, 100 Churches, and the other organization, Stop the Violence. When we have our stuff out on the corner of Central Madison, we ask everybody to put their names down. We get names, phone numbers, and emails because we want to contact you. We don't want this to be the only contact. No. And we've had several people reach out via internet, web, or whatever, saying, man, you know what, y'all prayed for me on that corner. Mm-hmm. I got the job I told y'all I was trying to get. Brother, you helped me with my resume. I appreciate you. You know, that's what happens with real follow-up. And here's the deal, because some people are going to say, y'all knock it. We're not knocking praying on the corner because needed.
No. It's needed.
But when you pull somebody to the side and say, bro, can I pray for you? We need to be asked specifically, what is it am I praying for? This is like when somebody comes up to the altar on Sunday mm-hmm. asking for prayer. You can pray a prayer, a general prayer, but if she's sick in her body or he's sick in his body, I need you to tell me, look, doc, something wrong with my kidneys.
Yes,
don't just say pray for my healing. Just tell me so I can tell the Lord directly. Yes, the Lord already knows.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me so I can say, Lord, this here kidney on this side.
Yes, sir.
Got a problem.
Call it by name.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
So get back to that, man. I like that
what
about
you,
the follow through. Go back to that.
Jesus said, what do you have need of?
Yeah.
And so when you follow up, you'll know what the person needs.
Yeah.
The church needs to have more resources. I don't care how big you are, how small you are. Churches ought to have resources. Let me look at the Good Samaritan.
Mm.
Let me look at this, and I'm going to close with this.
Okay.
The Good Samaritan. He went to a place where he already knew that there was destruction.
Okay.
The Bible says that he went there and some men robbed him and left him half dead.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Two very honorable people saw him.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the Levites saw him
mm-hmm.
and went to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the priest looked on him
mm-hmm.
and then crossed over to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But the Good Samaritan saw him and said, look, watch the action steps. He said, you know what? This man is wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Let me first clean him up.
Yeah. Let me do that first.
Let me do that first. Let me clean him up. I'm not going to ask him no questions.
Right.
Like the one that was born blind. Everybody, all these Christians. Whose fault was it? Was it the mama or the daddy?
Right.
Jesus said it ain't nobody's fault.
Right.
You know, he's coming here to get healing. He wants to see again.
Yeah.
And so this man is laying half dead. He's not asking you, man, you had no business being around on Fifth Avenue in Central Park. You already knew them boys were going to get you. No. Ain't no time to be asking no questions. This man is in urgent need of help.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He picks him up, wash him down, anoint him, and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. Here's the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes churches don't do this. Some churches may do this.
Sometimes.
But watch this.
Uh-huh.
He takes the man and said, look, I've done all that I can,
mm-hmm.
but now let me take you to a safer place, somebody that can do some more stuff with whatever you need.
That's good.
But when he drops the man off,
uh-huh.
he says, look, whatever this man needs,
uh-huh.
I will
right.
pay.
Right. Let me give you something now.
Let me do this now.
Right.
But I've done enough what I could do.
Right.
But now here's the resource for churches. Church needs resources.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I could do, I'm going to take you somewhere that can help you and take you a little further.
Yeah.
And then guess what? If there's an assessment fee or something, look, y'all help him and whatever needs to be paid, I'm going
to
pay.
I'll come back to it. That's awesome.
That's in a nutshell.
When you talk about, when people hear the word resource, they automatically assume money.
Money, no.
And it's not always money, but you need to have resources. Churches need to network. You might not have the resources in your church, but you may be connected with someone who does.
There you go.
I remember some years ago, and I've shared this with the people here on TTLO quite a few times, but we did this 100 men on the corner. We did, I think we were like on Chicago Avenue, and we were out there till midnight.
Hmm.
And we took over this drug infested area, on all four corners till midnight. And it was this weird thing happened, about 8 o'clock. You know, the guys was riding around on their bikes, the little lookouts and stuff, and you could see guys looking out the window wanting to know. You know, one guy rolled up, how long y'all going to be out here? Because, you know, y'all, you know, messing with the flow. You know, because we was out there, so the police was out there, so they couldn't work.
Right.
You know. So, but what happened was this amazing thing. This lady came up, and she had a little girl with her, and she said, I'm tired, and I need to get clean. Now, my church, this church you in, we don't have a rehabilitation ministry or a drug addiction ministry, counseling, any of that stuff. But some of the churches that were out there didn't have them either. But one guy said, but I know a church. And he said, he made a phone call. And the person said, are they ready to go now? She said, the lady left, she said, I'm going to come back. They said, we were like, well, are you sure you're going to come back? She came back. She had everything she had in the garbage bag. She says, I'm ready to go now. Van pulled up. He said, come on.
Let's do it.
And took her wherever she needed to go.
Thank you,
Lord. That's the resource.
That's the resource.
It's not about money. It's about and not being afraid to partner with another church. So what they, guess what? So what they baptize in Jesus' name and you baptize in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If they can help your person get a job in your church, what difference do it make? You? But see, we're so afraid
and called up.
That if I follow Kofi to his church, then you're going to steal my member. Because, see, you got that resource. So, see, we're more concerned about membership.
We need to be concerned about souls.
But we're concerned about membership.
The Bible says winning souls is wise.
It's easy to say that. But, see, these deacons and these trustees see empty seats.
They got it all mixed up.
They see empty seats.
That's why I said open them. I said they got this whole thing about evangelism kind of twisted.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. right, all right, all right. Hopefully we got this figured out. My producer will let me know if we good in a second here. We're going to continue on with our conversation with Lee Jones in the house. Kofi Lee is with us today. And we just having a good conversation, man, about things in the church that we can that need to be addressed and how what he does as a consultant and all those things, how we can get better at it. We apologize if those of you on the Blog Talk Radio side that got disconnected or whatever happened, but we are back. We are good to go. We're going to continue our conversation. So as you were saying, and you can keep hitting your invites and doing all that stuff, those of you, we on Facebook Live, Ustream, all those good things. So much different stuff. So let me ask you this. We talked about the youth and all that stuff. I want to get your perspective on this because I don't know you. This is the first time I met you. We talked on Facebook. That's about it. What is?
Glad we met.
Absolutely. What is? Just give me your perspective. Right now, there are. We just went through this horrible hurricane season. We're still in the midst of hurricane season. We've had all these hurricanes and catastrophes out on the West Coast and the East Coast. On the East Coast right now, from the Caribbean, Florida, South, and all that stuff. On the West Coast, we got 15 different fires burning. So far, 30-some-odd people dead. Billions of dollars in property gone, burned, just vanished. In the Midwest, in the middle part of our country, we got violence in the Midwest. Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, all the Indiana. Just people being shot, killed, fighting all day long, every day. The church can't do everything. But you kind of touched on this a little bit about, you know, when you started talking about how many churches within a little area and the fact that there's no communication between the two. What do you think? How does that look to you? What light is being shined on? What does it say about our country right now? And then, of course, we got crazy in the White House.
It's funny that you said that, and out of all that we talked about in terms of people being in positions for so long, somebody posted just a few minutes ago, and they shared a post of the government and how there are all of these individuals who've been in office for over 32 years.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing has changed.
Even if you look here locally.
Locally.
Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House. I think he's been there almost 40 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
In our Congress, we've had people who've been senators for 35 and 40 years.
Nothing has changed.
Not for the better for certain folk.
Nothing has changed.
Right.
I'm going to stay right there because I just wanted to be clear
that
we talk about change, and we've been talking about change from the African-American experience for over 100 years or 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about the 40 acres and the mule. We've been talking about this and that. We've even had people coming together, talking about reparation meetings and how we're getting ready to get this money. And then they crack jokes of us of how when we do get reparations, Cadillac stock's going to go up. You know what I mean? I think our people has not yet been prepared to understand what is coming.
Mm.
What is coming?
Okay.
The Bible says continue to work because I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord wants us to continue to do great work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in spite of what's going on around us, these are signs to let us know that God is coming.
Yeah.
These are signs that we ought to know that we ought to be prepared for his coming.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
And sometimes we're not even, some of these things are not even been taught in the church.
Well, I think there's
that's another subject, but I'm
not. No, because there's a fear of teaching because, and this is why I think there's an issue. I think there's a fear of people don't like. I talked with some friends who believe that there are preachers who don't want to preach. They won't preach out of the book of Revelation. They won't preach out of the book of Revelation because they don't understand it. And then you don't want to be
misleading.
You're scared to preach the other side of the gospel. I said this on Wednesday night. You can't just preach about the feel good side of God.
No.
When the Bible talks about admonishing your brother and your sister, God chastising us.
Whom he loves.
Yeah, yes, you chastise whom he loves. And he says he chastises his children.
Yes,
and he says anybody that is not chastised is not a child of God. So you have to expect that there's going to be excuse me, some, you, there's going to be some consequences for our lack of, or for our lack of action, for our lack of keeping our word about what we're supposed to do. So the book of Revelation deals with a lot of the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And people it's like going to a scary movie. Some folk don't go to a scary movie because they don't like being scared. And then you have a bunch of folk that go to scary because they love being scared. And then they'll tell you, well, it wasn't that scary. I didn't jump. If I didn't jump,
it wasn't scary.
But some folk are not afraid of that. But you have to teach it regardless. When John the Baptist was running through the woods and looking crazy, talking about some repent, scaring the hell out of folks, that's what he did.
Let me say this. The conscious mind is dangerous.
Mm.
When one become conscious of something that they have been taught for so long,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to overcome the fact that they've been taught so long this one principle.
Yeah.
But now when you become consciously aware that you've been taught something
That's wrong. Yeah.
It becomes
That's good.
A catastrophe.
That's good. It's almost life shattering.
Like a scary movie.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's life changing.
Life changing.
When you've been given prime example. This past Monday,
mm-hmm.
the national holiday is still known as Columbus Day. Right? Now, Columbus was him and his crew. I'll give him credit for this. He was the one of the people who said the world is not flat.
Is that right?
Okay. The world is not flat. And they go, well, no, it's got to be. Because when you look out, that's all. So that means if you keep sailing, you're going to fall off something.
Something. Or roll around.
And they couldn't believe that the world was not flat. So it had to be proven that there is. That it's not this flat surface. How can you say that? But nobody could believe it until they showed evidence. And once that was changed, then people had to change their whole teaching. Their mind, they had to change.
Let me tap into evidence.
Come on.
That's why a lot of people are not coming to the church, because there's no evidence.
Oh my.
Of me being successful, spiritually helped, spiritually healed.
Oh my.
Any of those things. So once it's like a person coming to church,
uh-huh.
and they don't know nothing about church, and they've been there 6 months trying to wait for something to happen.
Wow.
But nothing never happens.
Wow.
There is no evidence. Nobody's really being changed. Nobody. All they hear is about the bad, negative stuff that's going on in different churches.
Or the stuff that used to happen.
Or used to happen.
20 years ago. I'm glad you went there. Here is something that boggles the mind. Let's say I've been a member of this church accumulation of about 30 some odd years, right?
Yes, sir.
So I've seen good, bad, ugly, all that stuff. You just joined January,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes,
so all you've heard about was how great things used to be. And this, you used to do this, and we used to do that, and all these other things. And you've been here 9 months now, and you've seen none of that. And then now, let's fast forward 3 years from now,
yes,
and you're still hearing about how great it used to be and all this other stuff, and you're looking for any evidence that it's ever going to be that way again. Or are we going to do more than what we used to do?
Evidence. Times and trends change.
They should. Well, we sing a song that say time is filled with swift transitions.
No, another swift change.
Come on.
But build your what?
Yeah, come on.
Hopes on things. God on my left. People are building their hopes on sinking sand, not on a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, people have these great expectations of something that they never seen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how could you measure something that you've never seen? There's never been any evidence of something really coming good out of this.
That's good. That's
Once a person become consciously aware that they've been blinded, or they've been hoodwinked, they've been in a situation where they really haven't had a clear understanding. And that's oftentimes a lot of people in the church, around the church.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an idea. Look at this.
Come on.
You have a church that's been in a community 30 years.
Yes.
And nothing in that community has changed. The violence is up.
Got worse. Mm-hmm.
People still getting killed. There's been empty, abandoned buildings in the community for so long. Mm-hmm. People are still hungry.
Mm-hmm.
People are still dying. People
mm-hmm.
are still without jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The school, the a church and the school is right under the same, but all the kids in the school are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The LSV crazy. The principal crazy. Parents are crazy. And you got a church that's supposed to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The question becomes, what happened to the Holy Ghost?
Mm. It's one of those deals where the Holy Ghost ain't went nowhere. We just forgot how to tap into it.
Tap in. Oh, good God.
Come on now. The power is always
there. The power's there.
But
we have not tapped into the power.
We don't know how anymore. We've forgotten how to tap into the power. I heard a preacher preach this a while back, some years ago, and he talked about lightning.
Yes, sir.
And how lightning is out of control. Lightning just strikes. It hits wherever it hits. And it does whatever it does, and it's just out of control. But he says, when you learn how to harness that power,
yes, sir, oh yeah.
When Benjamin Franklin, quote unquote, however that story goes, when he went out there and playing around with his kite, we got that story when we was kids, and he put a key on it and got shocked or whatever happened, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But when they started figuring out how to harness the power, that's when you started being able to tap into power that was already there. We have forgotten our source.
Our source.
Mm. We have forgotten who the source was. We've forgotten how to connect back to the source. I heard a young preacher preach this. I was over at Freedom Baptist Church a few years ago.
That was a great church.
And yeah, great church. And a young preacher was talking about, we forgot the source, and he used the phone as the best example. He says, the worst thing that could happen is for you to be out and your phone dies. He says, because the first thing that happens when you start to see it getting low, you need to plug back in to the source. And the church, I think, has been disconnected from the source for so long. And all of us, oh my God, help me, thank you, Holy Ghost. If we take... Our batteries have been blinking at 5% for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've forgotten how to, and what happens is this, and this is how you mess up a device. If you get a battery and you never allow that battery to drain and fill, to drain and fill, and you just keep that thing on the charger the whole time, you're now tricking the battery. So the battery now believes, I only have to charge this much.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing with ourselves in the church. We come in and say, well, I only need to show up on Sunday to get a word. Only need to show up on Wednesday, and then my job is done.
It's over.
My job is done. I'm good. That's why you have so much failure and people falling and failing in the church, because they're only coming back and getting half full. Nobody sits down to a table. Let's be honest. When the food is good, don't nobody sit down to the table and intentionally eat half of what's on your plate.
No, sir.
Come on. That's not what we do. So if I'm going to sit down, my goal is to get all I can.
All I can.
Now, I know somebody. I ain't talking about you diet folk.
And if it's good, I want more. And then you get so full, you say, oh, my God. You start smelling that pie. You say, oh, man, yeah. I got to make room
for
dessert.
That's the same way we ought to treat the word of God. But we don't do that.
We're not hungry.
Because
8 o'clock service, people.
That's it.
After 8 o'clock, I'm going to the mall.
And
I'm going to watch my favorite shows. It's over with. I did my service today.
We don't recognize that there is a constant need to constantly plug into the source. You were finna say something. Go ahead.
I did my service for today.
Yeah. That's it.
But guess what?
Yeah.
There's a differentiation between service and worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, people keep using service.
That's good. That's good.
You're not serving in church. You're worshiping in church.
That's good.
Service happens when you leave the four walls of the building and do what God told you to do. Go ye into the world.
Angela Johnson, bless you, twin. She says, in some respects, we've lost our surge, but how do we reconnect? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Sometimes sometimes this is what happens, right? And we've all had this happen. Now, everybody on the radio, I'm about to paint the picture for y'all.
Yes, sir.
But those of you all on Facebook Live and Ustream, y'all see and hear all of this. Sometimes it's not us that goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way we connect.
Yes, sir. Oh, what an analogy. See, that model right here can have some.
See, right, it's the way we connect.
Yes, sir.
that stops us from doing. So maybe we need to get a new way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this don't. Maybe look, it works, but it's not giving me everything.
But guess what else?
Come on,
it works, but it has a shortage.
It's something missing.
Power shortage.
Right, something is missing. So we need to go back and say, look, maybe we need to scrap this. Don't throw you away.
No.
But I need to find a new way to
change the connection.
Change the connection. So something is wrong.
Something is wrong
with the connection.
With the connection.
Come on now. So we'll get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the original, what you talked about earlier. This is what we've always used.
Mm-hmm.
This, look here. Ain't nobody finna buy no new one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. This is it right here. We gonna use this. And guess what? Matter of fact, I know they got new models.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to go and find me this one.
Because
I know they still got it.
Because
mm-hmm. See, here's the problem. I'm afraid if you get me a new one
mm-hmm.
and I don't take the time to learn how to operate in it,
yes, sir.
Then you're going to find me antiquated and then you might try to replace me. So we're not using your way. Because, see, the way you're teaching, the way we've been teaching, mm-hmm. I can still teach your Sunday school for
yes.
you.
Oh, yeah.
I can still teach your Bible study for you. But here you come using PowerPoints and spreadsheets and all this other stuff, and you got animation on the screen and all. I ain't doing all that.
And that's not necessary. We're not in school. We're not in class nowhere. We're not at a business workshop. You do that there.
Right.
This is church.
Right. But see, we fail to understand that our millennials, our young folks, even our, watch this, even our kids that are in first, second, third, and fourth grade, those teachers are teaching. They ain't using chalkboards.
No.
They got screens that they write on.
Mm-hmm.
These kids got tablets in classrooms now.
They're called smart boards.
Smart boards. Come on. They got smart boards. So you think they come to your church and you stand up there with your book in your hand and your Bible and you expect them just to sit there and listen to you read in this monotone, dead voice?
I can read on my own.
It's the way we connect has to change.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't change.
God didn't change.
So y'all read every Sunday. For I am the Lord, I change not.
I'm the same yesterday.
Yeah, we read it every Sunday.
Today,
for I am the Lord, I change not. Right. Right. So we need to figure out other avenues to connect, better ways so that this brother can feel comfortable so that I can get him connected.
Mm.
Now, his connection might be different.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be mad about that. So you can reach me. It's like years ago when in public schools they start trying to incorporate music into the learning process,
mm-hmm.
you know, with math and stuff like that. And I had a bunch of preachers, most of them were African-American, but they were trying to incorporate a little hip-hop into teaching people how to use pronouns and adjectives and all of that because they recognized that the kids – would learn a little bit differently
rhythm.
For that particular group of kids.
Yes, sir.
So I need to recognize that I can't keep teaching
the same way
for my people that's sick. And here's the deal.
Mm-mm.
You got, and this is what's so amazing to me. You got people in your church 60 and 70 years old with smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
But you still want to teach like you teaching from a corded phone, from a rotary dial.
Mm-hmm.
We're still teaching from a rotary dial method, but everybody in your room got a smartphone.
Well, let me add this.
Come on.
There's some old people that got smartphones,
uh-huh.
and they always complain, child, I can't use all that new stuff they got going on now.
They bought it, didn't they?
They did buy it.
Why'd they buy it? Because the phone they had was no longer available.
Mm-mm.
The phone they had was no longer
available.
At some point, you had to change. You got
to
upgrade.
With the time.
At some point. Now, don't get me wrong. You still got computers around here that y'all still running. But watch this. Even Microsoft says we no longer support that system.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it, but don't expect it to do what the new stuff does.
Yes, sir.
Don't expect, to have the same connection that everybody else now has access to all of this other stuff. You're limited because you refuse to change. Wow.
Change is coming.
My. Michael Carson, what's going on, Doc? Michael Carson says, in Acts, the community brought all of their items together for the good. He says, until churches drop their denominations and religious doctrines and come together for the good of the entire body, you will be talking about this subject over and over and over. Peace. Michael Carson, God bless you, sir.
Come on, Michael.
Michael Carson is down in California, I believe.
Hmm.
I love that brother, man. I was on a show with him. We did a show about a year and a half ago over at Reggie World's Church Lifeline, man. He called in from California. But that's good. But he's right. He says bring all of their items together for the good. So that's just what you said before. You know, y'all may have a big kitchen. We may have a lot of food. Or vice versa.
Yes, sir.
Or we may have the kitchen and the food. Y'all may have the cooks.
Mm.
So you know, it's about having the facility. You may have the better organization. I may have the bigger building.
We all one body.
We supposed to be one body. That's good. That's good. Oh, you down in ATL? Oh, okay. I thought you was in California, Mike. My bad. But it's just amazing to me. And you're right, Michael. We will be talking about it until then. But you know, it's going to be one of them things where we have to continue to call these guys out. We have to continue to call churches out on the carpet, man. Make you know, it's time for. And I said this, and I know it's a little harsh. And I mentioned this. I had Apostle David Rogers on the show a couple of weeks back, and I said this to him. I said, "What would happen if the community started holding the churches accountable for not doing nothing?
Yeah.
What would happen if the community started picketing churches to say y'all been over here for 35 years and y'all don't do nothing for nobody?
Watch out.
We would be mad. We'd be offended because they're out front of your church holding signs saying you just come here for yourself. You don't care nothing about us. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't care nothing about us." You know, it is. I'm just full with it. So help me out, man. What's going on with you? What's coming up? What's coming up happening with you, man? What's anything good? I know you're still trying to get your feet settled in Dallas.
I'm kind of being led a different way. I had a talk with Dr. Joseph Henry over at Chicago Baptist Institute.
Okay.
And we had a long about an hour discussion regarding coming back to teach.
Come back here
to teach at Chicago Baptist Institute. And I posed a question to him that when I come back, I want to come prepared,
mm-hmm.
you know, gainfully employed. I don't
want
to come back just, you know, I talked pro bono for 4 years at CBI.
Okay.
God bless CBI. It's a real good school. Mm-hmm. It has potential. It has great mm-hmm. potential. And God bless CBI.
I know
CBI.
Some good folk came out of CBI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great pastors over there.
Mm-hmm.
But it has great potential.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Anything that has great potential could ignite a fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes a fire could go out
mm-hmm.
if there's no other people that could put stuff in it to keep it burning.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. There are a lot of people doing good movements,
mm-hmm.
but they're getting tired and burnt out.
Mm.
But then that's where it comes in, the changing of how you're doing it,
mm.
where you're doing it, mm. and who you're doing it with.
Yeah, sometimes you need a fresh wind.
Sometimes you need a fresh wind.
And I know it's about to be fall, and, you know, y'all, we about to stop barbecuing and all that stuff, but anybody who knows how to grill knows that you have to have a certain amount of air flowing.
Yeah, to keep the fire going.
To keep the fire going.
Mm, mm, mm.
And a lot of times we suffocate ourselves. We keep ourselves, and Michael, you just said it. Michael said there's a lot of good things churches are doing, but it tends to be for them and theirs.
See, we talked about that.
We
talked about that.
Yeah.
If my name ain't on it.
Right. We ain't doing it.
It ain't for my members.
Right. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let my members know about the food pantry down there because they might go down there and stay. I don't want to go visit. I don't want to. Look, we're going to visit these five churches.
Mm-hmm.
Because these five churches we visit are in just as much disarray as we in, so I know y'all ain't going to want to leave me. But we ain't going to go down there and fellowship with brother up the street who's doing it well, because if y'all go in there and see that the organization is being done well, y'all might leave me.
Excuse my mockery. I'm gonna
come on.
Well, brother pastor, we've been around for over 50 years, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Destroying the scripture.
I just want you to know it's okay to do what the work of the Lord, but if we're not doing the work of the Lord the same way, then we're going to do the work of the Lord the way the work of the Lord told us to do the work of the Lord.
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Right, because you ain't heard from God. Since 1980.
We're going to stay dry champ. That's it. And that's why young folks ain't coming to church. They still singing, "Dear little light of mine." See, there has to be a change.
Felicia Martin, you just said it. She says, "We used to fellowship all the time as kids. What happened to fellowship with other churches? Now you only fellowship with the groups in your district. You only fellowship with your friends' churches. If you're friends with the pastor, then that's my brother. I'm gonna go hang out with him. I can't fellowship with no other church. So we will bypass.
And watch this.
You talked about this a few minutes ago. We will bypass the 10 churches on our block.
On our block.
To go fellowship with a church on the south side.
On the south side.
I'm not saying don't fellowship with the church on the south side, but how do you have no relationship with the church to the left and the right of you?
That's bad. That's called lack of communication.
And lack of community.
And guess what else?
Yeah, come on.
If the church on this block has got only about 15 members, and I got 500 members, when I give them my 500 check, they ain't going to be able to give me 500. They can only give me 2.
See?
So why should I go fellowship with them?
Because they can't write me a check. Is that why I won't go down there and preach? Because they won't.
It's got to be changed. The mandate has to not be about money. It has to be about ministry.
We only bring star pastors to our churches.
Exactly.
Wow.
Those that can sing. Those that got this so-called anointing to do so and so and so.
Well, Parks shared an amazing story with us during his anniversary. He talked about how he had scheduled Pastor Meeks to come out from Salem. And how they had set up all this room and space and made all this stuff because he figured, you know, for your anniversary, normally when you have a preacher come for your anniversary, he brings his church, he brings all his people with him and everything else. And he said Pastor Meek came by himself. Didn't bring nobody, no fellowship, no nothing. But then he had Pastor Storrs come from Mars Hill, and Pastor Storrs brought the whole church.
Choir,
ushers, deacons, everybody came.
Filled
this place up. He said, and he had made room for that for Meeks because Meeks is the big name, and you know, he's got all this stuff. He got the House of Hope, hold 10,000 folk, and all this stuff, and didn't bring nobody.
But the blessing is that he came.
Yeah, he came. Yeah.
The blessing is that
I showed up.
We just want to look at it from
the other side.
The blessing is that he came.
Let's see, some Baptist churches' famous last 7 words. Yeah, you're right. We've never done it that way before. That's the last 7 words. That's going to be the last words of some closing churches.
Yes, sir.
We've never done it this way before.
We've never done it this way.
Angela says, we've gone back more than long services. We sit down and chat with folks. Our congregation is multicultural. I love adapting in every way. Absolutely. And I'm going to say this, and I know it's hard for some folks to fathom. In the church, we got about 13 minutes. Okay. But for some folk to fathom in the church, we need to start looking at your church being this all black church deal, this all African American church deal. You need to start looking at your community.
Yes, sir.
Because you can't call yourself the church church looking for all people, and the only folk in your church look like you. I'm not saying that you're supposed to all of a sudden, you know, disenfranchise your own African American people in your church. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that you need to start making your church appealing for all people. You need to go out. Stop going just to your neighborhood looking for people. Mm-hmm. Go outside. Oak Park is right across the street.
It is, yes, sir.
Come on, you ain't got to just get folk. Now, yeah, you want to grab the Austin community, but don't be afraid to go look further west. Don't be afraid to go to the Garfield community. Don't be afraid to go look further. Grab all people. Let me read this. Michael Carson says this. He says that fresh wind you're referring to is the light of the world that is in us all. It is a light and it will shine. He says people love to quote Hosea 4 and 5, but they leave off verse 6. He says Hosea 4 and 5 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 6 says, because you have rejected knowledge. He says, I also reject you as my priest because you have ignored the law of your God, and I will also ignore your children. Wow. That you know what, Mike? You just helped me. Because you're right. People always say my people perish for lack of knowledge. They never read verse 6 because you rejected the knowledge.
Rejected.
You had it.
We told you about it.
It was available to you.
We said it to you.
I don't want to hear it.
You ignored it.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge.
Just like this.
That's huge. Come on.
Matthew 25. He says these 6 principles I want you to do when you evangelize. I want you to feed people. I want you to give them clothes. I want you to give them shelter. I want you to go give them food. I want you to give them something to drink. And I want you to go visit them in jail. But look, he said, if you don't do these things, what happens? They forgot to read that 46 verse, 25-46. You will go to where? If you don't do this, this is where you're going.
Well, We've gotten so, again,
we have lost the vision and the purpose of what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, we get vision, and we did a whole show on that. We get vision and mission mixed up. We don't understand that there's a difference between vision and mission.
Yes, sir.
You can't and as long as we continue to have that
vision is what we see.
Mm.
Mission is what we do.
Yeah, the mission. Yeah, how do you accomplish it? How do you accomplish it?
Yes, sir.
How
do you accomplish what you see?
Yeah, what do we do to get there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I see the vision. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the vision. Now, let's put a plan in place.
That's what we do.
So that the vision comes to pass.
Come to fruition. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Wow. This has blessed me, y'all. Let me make sure. Let me speak to I know we've been busy running. We've been running our mouth in here and ain't talked to some of y'all. Let me just call some of y'all's name. Now, Dana Miller, God bless you. Brian Gray, you still inviting your folks? I know we got a few minutes. Sam Peter from Pakistan, y'all. Let me say that again. Terrence Wilburn, Terry Cropper, Cedric Towner, LaTanya Melton, Sheldon Wilson, Ashley Chantel, Crystal Miller, Sheldon Davis, Jen Saul, God bless you. Angela Johnson, I see you. Sharice Hicks, God bless you. Felicia Martin, Kevin Page, what's going on, bro? Charlotte Quiet Storm.
Oh, yeah. She's from my church.
Okay.
Hey, Charlotte.
Michael Carson, God bless you. I know I missed a bunch of y'all from in here earlier. I just didn't get a chance to get around to y'all's names. If y'all can, Fresh Kincaid.
Hey, Fred.
Fred Kincaid.
Yeah, he's in the car with me, man. I'm going to get to you once again. We got 10 more minutes.
We'll be off the air in 9 minutes, Doc. 9 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, man, it's just I've really enjoyed this. If you could help a church right now, just by if you had a few minutes to sit down, if you could get 10 pastors locally from right here in this community to sit down in the room, using your SWOT method, your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. After that, what could you say? And I know it's kind of vague and it's off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. What could you say to get them to come together to say give me a way that you to get them to come together and get together on one accord?
I think one way we look at, and this is how all non-for-profits look at ways to come together.
Mm-hmm.
When they do their needs assessment, they look at what is needed in that community.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at their organization and say, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third step is when the organization see that they have done partial of what is needed in their community, they look at other churches or other organizations and say, hey, who could help us?
Mm-hmm.
Do the other part since we're not good at doing this part.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., we talked about it earlier. When a church has a food pantry,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have no food,
mm-hmm.
then there's a collaboration that could take place.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors need to come together and talk about collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? What can we do to focus on this area?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of vacant properties. There's mm-hmm. a lot of vacant lots.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of abandoned buildings. There's a lot mm-hmm. of young people that need jobs. Now, mm-hmm. I think they've already kind of solved the job problems with summer works.
But those are limited. Yeah, but
limited.
But
what happens after that?
Yeah, when the summer's over.
Yeah. How could we use a strength-based approach
mm-hmm.
to the needs of the community, to the needs of the people?
Mm-hmm.
When a person comes to your church, the pastors need to ask themselves a question. What does the church have
mm-hmm.
and what does the church do not have?
Mm-hmm.
And what churches could have it that we can resource them out to?
Yeah.
Or what community organization that we can resource them out to?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may already be doing this, and they may say, yeah, we're doing all that stuff, but these things are still happening. Then here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
If the devil is working 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and your church is in a community, you're only working 6 hours a week, there's a
mm-hmm.
problem.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Churches are only in the community 6 hours a week. That's on maybe Bible study on Wednesday night,
uh-huh.
prayer meeting, and
uh-huh.
then church on Sunday.
Right.
But then the other days, they're not even in the church. They're in the community doing anything.
And if they don't live in the community, it's that much worse.
And it's that much worse.
And you have a lot of that, unfortunately. And we talked about that millions of times on the show. Unfortunately, you do have a lot of preachers. And I'm not knocking you where you live.
Wow.
You bought your house where God gave you. Hey,
right.
You bought your house where you bought your house. But you also, when you agreed to pastor that church, you agreed to pastor that community,
that,
not just that church.
Not just that church.
You agreed to be the pastor of that community, not just that church. So when you decided to go, and my sister Angela, she says, invite him back or tell him to do a Facebook Live. She says, I ain't in your community, but I love your heart and your mission. Dana, we should all be collaborating. Let me say this.
even if your pastor does not live in that community, he still has a responsibility in that community. And just like my twin Angela, her and her husband, their church is in Villa Park.
Mm.
It's not an African American community, but guess what? When God gave y'all that building, he gave y'all the responsibility of reaching that community. So don't be so dismayed that you can't, you know, do what you want to do necessarily back here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There is a purpose for you in Villa Park.
Yes, sir.
There's a purpose for you in Villa Park. I don't care where God plants you. If he plants you in the middle of a cotton field somewhere, there's somebody out there for you to reach. So regardless of your situation, your circumstance, or whatever that is, you have to be willing to take the responsibility, not just to pastor that church, but to be the pastor in that community. Right now, Austin community does not have a pastor. The Garfield community does not have a pastor. East Garfield, Lawndale, a lot of these places don't have that. Now, if you go south side, they'll start telling you, oh, this pastor so-and-so.
Mm.
This is his because he goes out and he works.
He's working it.
And the community knows he can walk up down the street. He don't need 17 armor bearers. Mm. He can walk up and down. See, you know what? When you're doing stuff in the community will protect you.
Mm. They will.
They will look out for your property, your church, all of that.
Let me tell you what happened to me about 10 years ago.
Come on. We got 4 minutes.
Fifth Avenue, mm-hmm. and it's called The Hole, Fifth Avenue in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at Faraday School doing a lot of
mm-hmm.
youth violence work.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Young boy had his marijuana and his wine and his shot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, y'all put that away. There go Reverend Lee. Put that away.
Wow.
That's respect.
Yeah.
They've lost respect because the people are not present.
When you disappear, it's that old, like that old saying, when the cat's away, the mouse will play.
That's right.
When the ring
out of sight, out of mind.
Then come on now. So and then now you come out there expecting to get that respect, and the first thing they say is, "We don't know you." Kind of like,
you know what I'm gonna say. You know I want to say this.
Come on,
Michael Eady.
Yeah,
I ran into him.
Okay.
A couple years ago.
Okay.
Now, I have seen Pastor Eady
mm-hmm.
walk around in the community. He had an awesome idea.
Mm-hmm.
He had these little door knockers, said the blood. I guess something had happened in the community.
Wow.
Was shooting.
Wow.
He said, we're going to go to everybody's door
and
have
the blood on it.
Put the blood, hang these. He said that when...
kind of like in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Passover. Yeah, yeah.
The Passover.
Yeah,
he said,
yeah.
We're going to put the blood over these doorposts.
Wow.
I thought that was awesome.
I love that. That's awesome.
But I asked Michael, Pastor Eady, I said, is there any follow-up? He said, yeah, they're going to be follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
You watch in the next year or so, watch these buildings go up.
Mm-hmm.
And them buildings start going up.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's huge.
That's real huge.
That's huge. Look, y'all, this has been awesome, man. I have really enjoyed this, man. Kofi, man, we're going to have you back next time you're in the city.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Next time you're in the city,
really
man, get you in here, man. It's been great. This has been a great time, man. As always, anytime we have guests on the show, we have asked them to pray us out, man. You pray for the people and whoever else you want to add to it, man, can you do that for us?
Oh, sure.
All right, let's do that.
Eternal God, our Father, we thank thee now for this time of sharing. We thank God for those that have heard a word or heard something that was shared today by these radio waves, oh God. And we pray, God, that what was said was not be in vain, oh God, that someone would hear your word and hear your voice and know there is a need in the community.
Mm.
Lord, we need you and we need you to touch the hearts. You said in the word, Matthew 9, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will send forth laborers in the vineyard. For there is work to do, O God. Cover with your blood. Lord, there's violence. There is shooting. There is gangbanging. There is rape. There is robbery, God, all over this land. But Lord, unless the person cry out and spare none, God, the word will not be heard.
Mm.
So give us the power of your anointing, God. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide us and give us direction right now in the name of Jesus. Open up eyes, heal hearts, heal hurts right now in Jesus' name. I do pray. Thank you, God, for our leaders, God. Thank you for those that are out there crying out loud, oh God. Thank you right now in the name of Jesus for those that right here that's hurting and in despair. God, we pray right now in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen. Look, man, I appreciate you. Thank you. Look, y'all, we
thank
got
you.
To go.
Thank
it's
you.
Been an awesome show. Appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great and blessed and wonderful weekend, and stay safe. And as I always say, if you got to drive through this crazy city we call Chicago, please keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. This has been Taking Limits Off Radio. Peace.